sourcing custom steel parts. I mean, if your business relies on it, you know, you got to get it right.
Absolutely.
But there's this risk that kind of looms over the whole process.
Yeah.
Supplier fraud.
Right.
And nobody wants to discover that through like unexpected financial blows, right?
Definitely not.
So in this deep dive, we're gonna break down exactly how to navigate these risks.
Okay.
We're bringing in real-world experience so you get practical strategies, you know, not just information overload.
Right.
We're honing in on those subtle warning signs and those preventative measures
yep.
that you can put to use right away.
I like it.
So no one wants to deal with supplier fraud.
No.
But it's not always obvious, is it?
No, not at all.
When a supplier might be acting fraudulently.
It's tricky, but yeah. There are patterns, you know,
yeah,
and early indicators.
Okay, so let's get into those patterns.
Sure.
What are some of the key warning signs, the things that should make you, like, pause and think twice when you're talking to a potential steel parts supplier?
One of the biggest ones early on is the pricing.
Oh, yeah.
If it seems too good to be true.
Yeah.
So if a supplier is quoting prices significantly lower than what you've seen before, what you've experienced, or just the general industry standard.
Right.
That's when you really got to start scrutinizing things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, sometimes those initial low prices, it's a tactic.
It's like a
bait and switch.
Yeah, yeah.
They reel you in with that low price, and then later on, they jack up the prices.
Oh, I see.
Or they deliver subpar materials to make up for it.
That makes sense. That's a really important point to catch because it's so easy to be drawn in by that low price.
Oh, yeah.
But it could be a really costly mistake later on, huh?
Huge mistake.
So what's another indicator that things might not be, you know, totally above board?
Transparency.
Okay.
Or rather, lack of it.
Yeah.
A trustworthy supplier should be open about their operations. Where they source their materials, their production timelines, you know, their pricing structure, like how they arrive at those numbers.
Makes sense.
If they're vague,
yeah.
If they avoid giving you those specifics or they're constantly deflecting your questions,
yeah.
That is a major red flag.
Okay.
It just makes you wonder what they're trying to hide.
So it's not even just like asking them about the sourcing, but also like, are there specific certifications or audit reports that we should be requesting as a standard practice?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
You want to understand their entire process, not just see the final number.
Got it. So what else should we be looking out for? What should make us raise an eyebrow, you know?
Pressure tactics.
Okay.
If they're really pushing you to make a quick decision, demanding those immediate commitments without giving you enough time to do your due diligence.
Yeah, yeah.
That's often a way to hide something.
Okay.
They want to finalize the deal before you have a chance to really dig in and investigate.
I see.
I remember this one time I was being pushed to sign a contract, like right then and there.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out they completely misrepresented their lead times.
Oh, no.
That frantic energy, you know, definitely cost us in the end.
So you got to be wary of that sense of being rushed.
Absolutely.
Because it really is about them maintaining control, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got pricing, transparency, pressure tactics.
Mm-hmm.
How about their communication style?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Does that offer any clues?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Suspicious communication is a big indicator. Uh-huh. Like consistent poor grammar.
Yeah.
Responses that don't quite answer your questions or just a generally unprofessional tone.
Right.
All of that can suggest they're not a legitimate operation.
Gotcha.
Or they're trying to be deceptive.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how many urgent emails riddled with typos turn out to be scams.
Oh, well.
And also pay attention to how they prefer to communicate.
Oh,
if they're always dodging phone calls. Or they only want to communicate through, you know, less secure channels.
Interesting.
That's another warning sign.
It's almost like they're...
It makes it much harder to hold someone accountable if you can't even get them on a call.
That makes perfect sense. That unwillingness to have a direct conversation.
Exactly.
Can be very telling. So
yeah,
we've talked about communication style. Are there any red flags related to the information they provide about their company itself?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Inconsistent company information.
Yeah.
If you notice their contact details are changing frequently,
right.
Or their business name,
yeah.
Or if the information they give you about their registration
right.
doesn't match up across different platforms.
Oh, I see.
That's a strong signal they might be a fraudulent operation.
It makes you wonder, like, why are they constantly shuffling these details around?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It sounds like we need to approach this whole process with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Right.
And a real detective's eye for detail.
For sure.
And, you know, to help us keep all of these potential red flags straight.
Yeah.
We've actually put together a table that summarizes all of this.
Perfect.
It outlines the warning sign, whether that's unrealistic pricing,
right,
lack of transparency, the pressure tactics,
mm-hmm,
suspicious communication, inconsistent company information.
Yeah.
And then alongside each of those, it outlines the potential fraud risk that's associated with each one.
Okay.
For example, like we discussed, unrealistic pricing.
Right.
Could point to that bait and switch tactic.
Definitely.
Whereas a lack of transparency might mean that they're hiding issues with their quality control or where they source their materials from.
Exactly.
So now that we've highlighted some of the potential dangers,
mm-hmm,
let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about what you can actively do,
yeah,
to prevent yourself from becoming a victim of supplier fraud in the first place.
Proactive stuff.
Proactive steps, exactly. So what can our listeners do to protect themselves?
Mm. Well, the key here is to be proactive and to be thorough.
Okay.
Staying vigilant, conducting really comprehensive checks.
Yeah.
That's absolutely essential.
Got it.
And one of the most important steps is to ask for references.
Okay.
And not just ask for the list,
yeah,
but actually reach out and check them carefully.
Right, right.
Talk directly to those references, understand their experience with the supplier,
mm-hmm,
ask specific questions about their reliability, the quality of their work.
That's such a fundamental step.
It is.
But I feel like it's often overlooked.
Oh, I agree.
In the rush to, you know, secure a supplier and move forward.
Absolutely.
So besides checking references, what other proactive measures should we be taking?
Verify the company's history.
Okay.
And their track record.
Okay.
How long have they been operating? What's their reputation like in the industry?
Makes sense.
You know, look for online reviews, industry forums,
right,
anything that's publicly available,
yeah,
that can give you a sense of their legitimacy and their reliability. And then, if your budget allows for it, requesting a factory audit,
great,
or inspection,
yeah,
that can provide really invaluable insight,
yeah,
to their actual operations and their quality control processes.
Look like getting boots on the ground.
Exactly.
Even virtually sometimes.
Yeah, it can make a huge difference.
It can be really insightful to see things firsthand.
For sure.
Now, let's talk about a specific tool that can add a really significant layer of security.
Okay.
Especially when you're dealing with new suppliers or international suppliers.
Right.
Third-party escrow services.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how those work and why they're so beneficial?
Yeah. So think of an escrow service, like a trusted middleman.
Okay.
They hold on to the payment.
Right.
Until you, the buyer, you receive and verify that the steel parts,
yeah,
meet all the specs, all the agreed upon stuff.
Right.
And only then, once you're satisfied,
yeah,
do you authorize the escrow service to release the funds.
To the supplier, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And this actually can be really helpful for building trust.
How so?
Well, especially when you haven't worked with this supplier before.
Right.
Really. You know, you don't have that established relationship yet.
Makes sense.
So it's worth considering using escrow when you're dealing with suppliers in places with, you know, maybe weaker legal frameworks.
Okay.
Or if your order volume is exceptionally large.
That's a good point. So it's like a secure holding ground for the money.
Exactly.
Until both sides have fulfilled their part of the deal.
Yep.
What are some of the specific advantages of using an escrow service?
First off, you get significant payment protection.
Okay.
You're not handing over that money until you know you've got the goods that, yeah, meet your standards, which really reduces the risk of paying for nothing, yeah, or ending up with subpar parts.
It's huge.
Second, it builds confidence for both you and the supplier.
Okay.
They know they're going to get paid once they deliver as promised.
Right.
And you have peace of mind knowing your funds are protected until you get what you ordered.
Yeah.
And finally, reputable escrow services usually have these established dispute resolution processes.
Oh, cool.
Which can help mediate and resolve any disagreements that come up.
Right.
Which can potentially help you avoid those costly, time-consuming chargebacks and legal battles.
That sounds like a really smart way to mitigate risk.
It is.
Are there any drawbacks, though?
There are a couple things to keep in mind.
Okay.
Escrow services typically charge a fee.
Right.
So you got to factor that into your budget.
Okay.
And weigh it against the potential risks and benefits.
Right.
Especially for larger transactions or when you're dealing with unfamiliar suppliers.
Makes sense.
And not every supplier is going to be immediately comfortable using an escrow service.
Oh, okay.
So it's important to have that conversation early on.
Yeah, be upfront about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we also have a table that highlights those key advantages of using escrow services. really reinforcing those benefits we just talked about.
Yeah.
The payment protection, the trust that it builds, mm-hmm. and that dispute resolution framework that it offers.
Exactly.
So moving on, let's talk about another crucial aspect of due diligence.
Okay.
Verifying the legitimacy of the supplier.
Right. The fundamentals.
Yeah. Like, are they a legally operating business?
Exactly.
Where do we even begin with that?
So verifying their business license and registration is paramount.
Okay.
First step, directly request official documentation from them.
Okay.
Their business license, registration certificate, tax ID number.
Got it.
And importantly, you need to make sure these documents are actually issued by official government bodies.
Right.
Or recognized chambers of commerce.
So just having those documents in hand isn't enough.
Yeah.
We need to independently verify them.
Right.
How do we do that?
So the next step is to cross-reference this information
okay.
with official government databases.
Okay.
A lot of countries now have these online portals where you can search for registered businesses. Why, that's helpful.
Yeah. So, for example, in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
you can often verify a business's registration through the Secretary of State's website
right.
for the state where they're supposedly registered.
Okay.
Places like Singapore and the U.K.
Yeah.
They also have publicly accessible online resources for this.
Oh, that's good to know.
It's also wise to check for any industry-specific certifications.
Right.
Like ISO 9001.
Okay.
Which shows they adhere to recognized quality and safety management standards.
So it's all about seeking that confirmation.
Yes.
From those official independent sources.
Exactly.
What else can we do to ensure their legitimacy?
Verifying their business address and phone number.
Okay.
Make sure the contact details they give you are actually real.
Right.
If possible, consider visiting their physical premises.
Okay.
Or hire a reputable third-party inspection company to do an on-site verification for you.
Oh, okay.
And there are also these specialized third-party verification services.
Mm-hmm. That do really comprehensive background checks on potential suppliers.
Oh, wow.
They can delve into things like their ownership structure.
Interesting.
Financial stability, past performance.
So it's not just like confirming their registration.
Yeah.
They're really doing a deep dive into their history.
Exactly. It's another layer of security.
That sounds like a worthwhile investment, especially for those bigger contracts.
It can be.
Now let's talk about the cornerstone of any good business relationship.
Yep.
Especially when we're talking about custom work.
Right.
And potential risks.
Yeah.
Legally binding contracts.
Yes.
Why are those so vital in preventing fraud?
Well, think of them as your safety net.
Okay.
They clearly define what both sides are expected to do.
Right.
They outline the scope of the work, and they provide that legal framework that you can fall back on if things go wrong.
Makes sense.
Having a well-drafted contract really reduces the chances of misunderstandings
right.
that could be exploited for fraudulent purposes.
So what are the absolute must-have elements that need to be included in these contracts?
Let's see.
Especially when we're sourcing custom steel parts.
Okay, first you gotta have crystal clear payment terms.
Okay.
Specify the exact payment schedule, whether it's a lump sum, progress payments, payment upon completion, the method of payment,
right?
Bank transfer, escrow, letter of credit,
mm-hmm.
and what currency you're using.
Okay.
Next, detailed quality standards.
Right.
No room for ambiguity here.
Yeah.
Include those precise specifications for the materials,
okay.
the manufacturing processes, the required characteristics of the final product,
right.
including things like acceptable tolerances and dimensions,
okay.
and then delivery timelines.
Wait.
You got to establish firm and realistic deadlines for both production and delivery,
right.
and outline any penalties or remedies for delays or noncompliance.
Those all sound like standard contract elements.
They are.
Is there anything else we should be paying special attention to in this context?
Yes, absolutely. You want to include clear dispute resolution clauses
okay.
that outline how you're going to handle any disagreements that come up.
Right.
Whether it's through negotiation, mediation, arbitration,
mm-hmm.
or ultimately legal proceedings.
Okay.
This can save you so much time and money
right.
compared to battling it out in court.
Yeah.
Also, make sure you incorporate comprehensive supplier guarantees.
Right.
Clearly define their responsibility for any defects
right.
or issues with the parts.
Okay.
And how you're going to handle returns, replacements, refunds.
Got it.
And finally, if your designs, your specifications, any of your information is proprietary.
Yeah.
You need strong confidentiality clauses
okay.
to protect your intellectual property.
So a really comprehensive contract covers all those potential points of contention.
It does.
And gives you recourse if things go wrong.
Exactly.
And we also have a table summarizing the importance of each of these critical contract elements.
Yeah, right? Perfect. Just to drive those points home.
So, to bring it all together,
sure.
What are the most critical takeaways
yeah.
from our deep dive into preventing fraud when sourcing custom steel parts?
I think the core strategies are vigilance in vetting your suppliers, really being thorough, utilizing those third-party escrow services, especially for new relationships or international vendors, and then establishing those comprehensive, legally binding contracts with all the terms, specifications, expectations clearly spelled out.
Yeah, really detailed.
And remember, these strategies are most effective when you use them together,
right?
Creating that strong, multi-layered defense against fraud.
Excellent summary.
Thanks.
And on that note, here's a final thought for you.
Okay.
The strategies we've discussed, you know, they provide a great framework for protecting your business when you're sourcing custom steel parts.
Right.
But the tactics that are used by those trying to commit fraud, they're constantly evolving.
Yeah.
They're becoming more and more sophisticated. So considering how complex global supply chains are becoming,
right.
What new, what innovative approaches might businesses need to consider that go beyond these core principles?
That's a good question.
To proactively identify and mitigate those potential fraud risks in the future.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to think about as you navigate the world of custom steel part procurement.
Definitely something to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
For sure.